Morning. Happy Father's Day to all fathers and father figures out there. Have you been spoilt?
Yes.
Did you? Look, I was about to say, looking at someone, it's like, have you actually been forgotten? There's always that awkward moment, isn't there? You say, Happy Father's Day, and somebody goes, like Joe, I forgot. Oh, well, never mind. Yeah, we'll pray for Joe. And also to all father figures. And as I always say, you know, for those of us that have lost our fathers, it's an opportunity to remember for those, you know, for those that times that we had with our fathers. And this morning's service I've called Hearing Your Father's Voice, because it ties in with the book that we've been reading on Thursday and Friday. Well, we've read it before then. We shared together on Thursday and Friday, How to Hear God. And it's such a great way of sharing together and, as the book says, developing a conversational relationship with God. How we hear him in his word and how we hear him through prayer, as we were thinking about on Thursday and Friday just gone. How we read, how we meditate, how we ask and how we contemplate. And as I say, it's a simple guide for normal people, so consider yourself either simple or normal. The choice is yours. But God still wants to speak to us. And in a few weeks, when we resume our book club, we'll be thinking about God's whisper. I love the quote which I've pinched from the book, C.S. Lewis. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So as we come to prayer, let's just open up our worship. God whispers to each of us, you are my beloved, created in love for love. My spirit answers, here I am, Lord, speak to me anew. God breathes on us the Holy Spirit, knitting many members into one body, the body of Christ. Together we answer, here we are, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. God has yet more vision for the people. Who will work for God to extend his kingdom into our hurting world? Here we are, God. Empower us for your work. God calls the small and helps them to do great things. God calls the weak and reveals their hidden gifts. God calls the rejected and opens their eyes to their worth. Here we are, Lord, humble and waiting. Then let us gather, old and young, small and great, to dream God's dreams, receive God's power, and do God's deeds. Here we are, Lord. Shine the light of your love on us. Kindle your spirit within us. Work your redeeming will in us, that all the world may be won through the power of your love. Amen. Powerful words by David Inglis. Let's join together and with recreation and sing, and we'll sing it through twice. Number 14, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. Number 14, both verses twice, yeah, thanks.
The glory of the risen.
Let's continue our worship as we bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we sing those words, that all heavens declare the glory of the risen Lord. Lord, we come this morning to bring our praise and thanks, to join in with all creation in our thanks and praise for all that you have done for each one of us. We thank you for your selfless love, a love that shows us how we should love. We thank you by having that relationship reconciled that we can come into your presence and say, "Here I am, speak to me, Lord." Lord, we come this morning with all sorts of thoughts and concerns and worries and fears. Lord, we come to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be refilled. Lord, may you empty us of self and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you transform us into the people and the church that you would want us to be. Lord, we thank you that you want to speak to us. And so I pray, Lord, for each one of us, the gift of hearing, but also the spirit of obedience to your voice. Let us be so in tune by your Holy Spirit that it is as natural as breathing. Lord, may we hear your call. May we not hesitate or be afraid. Lord, we say when we join together in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. But often, Lord, we mean as long as that doesn't inconvenience us. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the stories and the lives of those that are in it, Lord, that show us so much, that you speak to us through your word. Lord, we know that we live in a world where so many voices clamour for our attention. Sometimes it's hard enough just to hear the person next to us, let alone listen out for your voice. Lord, we're sorry for the times that we've ignored you. We're sorry for the times that we haven't sought your response, or that we've been unwilling to respond to you. Lord, we're reminded of those early disciples that you gave that commission to follow me, and they followed. We thank you again, Lord, as we celebrated Pentecost a couple of weeks ago, that you don't leave any of your children alone, Lord, that when they come to you in faith, you fill them with your Holy Spirit. We don't journey in our relationship alone. You travel in front of us, by the side of us, and sometimes, Lord, behind us, pushing us on. Lord, may we grow deeper in your love. May we discern your presence and your call on our lives. Empower us to recognize you and respond to your invitation to follow you. Take away all that would hinder our hearing your voice. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know as we look out on our world, the world that you created so perfectly, that it is nowhere near as perfect as you intended. And Lord, we play our part in that as well. Never let us point the finger at others, Lord, because as someone said the other day, there's three pointing back at us. Lord, we pray for those countries that are affected by war and uncertainty. We continue to pray for the Ukraine, for Afghanistan, for Syria, for all those places, Lord, that are just living with fear and worry. We pray for our own country. We pray for governments all over the place. Lord, that they would seek you, they would be the people for the people and not for their own self. We thank you, Lord, that the work of reconciliation has begun. And Lord, we thank you for all those who seek to work for your peace. For those who lose their lives, Lord, because they care passionately about your word. Lord, you ask each one of us to give up our lives to follow you. And Lord, that would mean that we put you first in everything. Lord, we recognize that if that's the case, the world would be a far different place. So Lord, help us. Give us the strength through your Holy Spirit. You never abandon us. But Lord, as we hear your voice teaching us, showing us your way, that in everything that we do in all our lives, all the glory and honor would go to you. Lord, even as I'm praying these words, I know that in our hearts and minds we are praying to each one of us, Lord, that you would show us your way. So, Heavenly Father, accept all our prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as we continue in the attitude of prayer, we'll sing our next song, which is number 133. And you can probably guess what we're talking about this morning as we look at verses 3 and 4. Father, we love to seek your face. We love to hear your voice. I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Let that be our prayer as we sing. Thanks, Jay. So this morning we're going to be looking at the call of Samuel, which is on page 273. 273. So we're in the Old Testament this morning. Whoa, I know. Seat your pants this morning. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 21, which is headed up, The Lord Calls Samuel. If we just look at the first couple of chapters, some of you are familiar with the story of Hannah and how she prayed, as it says in the New Testament, without ceasing in her heart for a baby. And later we read that the Lord remembered her dedication and she gave birth to a son whom she named Samuel, because, as it says in chapter 1, verse 20, because she asked the Lord for him. Hannah then dedicated Samuel to the Lord for his whole life, which is how, when we get to our reading this morning, he comes to be in the temple. It says that he grew in favor with the Lord, and because of Eli's own son's wicked behavior, God calls the faithful Samuel, who, as it says in chapter 2, verse 35, will do according to what is in God's heart and mind. And from Samuel we get the priestly line. And today we're going to reflect on the moment that God called Samuel when he was just a young boy. So page 273, 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 21, The Lord Calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by the sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel attested as a prophet to the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Amen. We thank God for those words and for his words. And I think it's such a beautiful encounter, but also how inspiring the way that the young Samuel responds to the voice of God. Sometimes it's good, isn't it? The young have no fear. It's only when we get older that we start to get a bit more cautious. But also how, as we read all the way through the book of Samuel, that he cultivated his relationship with God for the whole of his life. Because later on, even as an old man, he has the eyes of faith to see how a king is in a shepherd boy called David. And so as we think about those words a bit more, we'll sing number 459, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Thank you. In verse 1, we read, waiting for thy gracious word. Verse 2, speak to me by name. Verse 4, make me ready with obedience. Lord, as we come now to hear the word for each one of us, may we say, I am listening, Lord, for thee. What have you to say to me? Amen. As I was thinking about the word this morning, and I have to admit, I've probably known for a few weeks what I was going to speak about this morning. God was very, very good in giving me the overall, but not necessarily the detail. And obviously being Father's Day, it's good to think about our fathers and to give thanks for them. And as I was thinking about hearing our father's voice, I always think to myself, having lost my dad a really long time ago when I was 18, how I'd love to hear his voice again. And for some people, I remember a friend of mine, her dad actually recorded the message on the answering machine, and so they never took it off, obviously until the answering machine broke, and then that was the end of that. But, you know, to be able to hear my father's voice again, to hear his dad jokes. Does anyone know any dad jokes? There's a load going out this morning if you look on social media. To hear his voice of wisdom, to be able to just sit down and have a good chat and put the world to rights. As I said, part of my faith journey when I lost my dad was 6 months later going to our Girls Brigade training weekend, where the heading was, "When did you last see your father?" And that was a bit hard at the time, but it was also fantastic, because it actually brought me on in my faith, because it made me realize that I can have a relationship, a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with God the Father, and that he wants to have relationship, not just with me, but with each one of us. And as we mature in our faith, we also realize that God wants to speak to us. As we've been sharing over these last couple of weeks, as we've been reading the book, some people believe that God doesn't speak anymore. They stop speaking at the end of the first century church. So basically, when the New Testament finished, God stopped speaking. I personally don't subscribe to that at all. I believe that God is still willing to speak to us in so many different ways. And I'm sure that if we shared after the service, that each one of us would have stories, as we've already shared on Thursdays and Fridays, of times when God has spoken to us in so many different ways. But also when we speak to him. And it's often, isn't it, when we're worried or when we're anxious or when we're overwhelmed, that we cry out to God to speak to us. We look for God's voice, for guidance when we need something, usually having exhausted all our own attempts at sorting it out for ourselves. Good news is that God is always wanting to hear from us and to speak to us. God is constantly speaking to his people, but too often we miss out on hearing God's messages because we seek his guidance perhaps only occasionally. Usually when we're going through a crisis or facing a major decision. Then we have an urgent need to hear from God, but we become muddled and irritated and frustrated when we don't clearly hear what we should do. We start to wonder how to hear from God and why we aren't. Now, I don't know about you, but my brain doesn't function great when it's irritated, muddled, or frustrated. And so anyone could say anything to me, and I wouldn't necessarily hear. Is that true of most of us? Yeah? Some of you are already napping, so that's why I asked the question. But it doesn't have to be that way with God. God wants everyone to hear his voice and his messages for us clearly. And it is possible to do so. As we've been exploring over these last few weeks and through our own faith life, it's essential that we forget about the formulas and the gimmicks for hearing from God, and to focus instead on developing the kind of relationship with God that will empower us to hear God speaking regularly. The closer that we get to God, the more that we can enjoy ongoing conversations with him, both listening and hearing from him. And the more that God will use those conversations to transform each one of us into the person that he wants us to become. And don't sit there going, "I'm far too old to be transformed," because we're all going through the process and none of us are going to be perfect until we're with the Lord again. It's relationships, as we know, take time, don't they? You know what it's like trying to build up a relationship with somebody? It's hard enough in our own families, isn't it? Let alone with other people. And it's the same with any kind of relationship. We have to work at it. When it comes to spending time with God, we need to regularly schedule time daily to be with him. He gives us 1,440 minutes a day. Surely we can give some back to God. It's he who equips us to carry out the tasks that he's given us. It's he who directs our days. If we're seeking to grow in our relationship with our Father God and change our use of time, we must, like Samuel, be dedicated to it in meditation and contemplation, as we were thinking on last week, and reflection. Using God's word, consider what God deems to be valuable. Somebody said, time spent with God and getting to know him through reading his word and prayer is never wasted. When God speaks, we can reflect on how we hear God's voice. As we've shared, it can be through the Bible, through prayer, through nature and creation, through music and songs, through other believers, one another, through our circumstances and issues, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As we think about the passage that I read earlier, it speaks so much about how to hear our Father's voice. We read in verse 3, and you can think about these later. These are just my thoughts on what we've read. But position yourself close to God. It says that Samuel set his bed up in the temple where the ark of God was. At that point, they'd put God in a box because they carried God everywhere with him. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit filled us now as his temples that we had that closer personal relationship. We read that Samuel had never heard God speak before. And for those of you who have heard God speak, it's very difficult to say what that voice sounds like, but it's a voice and it's not one that is familiar to us, but we know by what he says that it is God. So Samuel didn't know what to expect, but what he did know was that if he carried on relaxing and waiting in the temple, God would eventually show up through his personal devotion and quiet times and regular attendance. Perhaps we should ask ourselves, are we putting ourselves in a place where God is? Also, to find a place of regular service to God. In verse 1, Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. If we want to hear the voice of God, we have to be doing the things of God. If we're not serving the way that God is calling us to, then perhaps we shouldn't wonder why we're not hearing the voice of God. We're to listen for God's voice. We read in verse 2 that Eli was lying down in his usual place. We don't know why God spoke to Samuel and not Eli. Perhaps Eli was too preoccupied with his own interests to hear God. He had a lot on his mind. If we start to read chapter 2, you'll see exactly what. When God began speaking, perhaps he wasn't listening. Many times to hear what God is saying, we have to slow down and take time to get close to God. We have to put aside our own interests and learn to hear what God is saying. The next thing, when God calls, we are to respond eagerly, as we look at verse 4. When Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, he was immediately up and moving. Now, part of me thinks if I heard a voice in the night, I also would be up and moving. But it's great, isn't it? Because he thinks at that point, as we read, that it's Eli. And so he wants to go straight to Eli and ask him, you know, what do you want? If we want to hear the voice of God, we need to be ready to be up and moving, to put into action what he tells us. And so when God speaks, we're to obey him. In this passage and throughout the rest of his life, Samuel consistently obeys the Lord. No matter what God told him, Samuel did it. From that point on, The Lord was with him, we read in verse 19, and let none of his words fall to the ground. It's a lovely picture to have in our minds, isn't it? God speaks, none of it's wasted. He doesn't want us to waste any of it either. And then we're to read and study the word of God. After God spoke to him in this passage, the Bible tells us the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, verse 21. If we want to hear from God, we have to know what God's word has to say, and not just read it, but take it to heart and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, where that is where God tells us about himself. God is speaking. He wants to give each one of us wisdom to lead our families, at our work, in our church, and in every area of our life. The question that we have to ask ourselves is not, is God speaking, but are we listening? So we have to focus instead on developing the kind of relationship with God that will empower us to hear what he's saying to us regularly. The closer we get to God, the more we can enjoy ongoing conversations with him, both listening and hearing from him. And the more God will use those conversations to transform us into the people he wants us to become. Being close to God means communicating with him, telling him what's on our hearts in prayer. If we go back to the start of 1 Samuel, we see that Hannah didn't always verbalize her prayers. A lot of them were prayers from her heart, we read, because God reads our hearts through his Holy Spirit. And hearing and understanding what he is saying to us. In that second half of our conversation with God, it's so important, but it also can be so difficult, understanding what he is saying to us. How do we hear his voice? How can we be sure that what we think we hear is not our own subconscious? Because we do read, don't we, that God speaks to us into our minds, into our hearts. We often know that if it's our own self, that sooner or later it's all going to go really wrong. That's one sure sign that it's not God's voice. God will never say anything that will contradict himself or his word. That's why we need to know his word through the Bible. What if what God says to us isn't clear? You can speak to many, many mature Christians who will say, I wasn't quite sure at the time. So we speak to one another. What do you think? Pray for me. Help me to understand that if that's what God is saying. To focus not so much on individual actions and decisions, as on building our relationship with our Creator. Because you know what it's like. Once that relationship's established, you can know what the person is going to say before they even say it. That's usually why people in a marriage, the husband doesn't have to respond, because they already know what the wife is saying. It's your get out of jail free card this morning, men. Because it's Father's Day only. But hearing from God and following his will doesn't have to be so complex. Once we grasp God's love for us and how he wants to be involved in our lives, we can begin to hear his still small voice and see his hand in our everyday circumstances and communications. Someone will say, does God speak to us all in the same way? I'd probably say no. Because we're all unique. Are these the only ways that God speaks to us today? Again, I say no, because we worship a creative God. He speaks in so many ways, including through miracles and through one another. Regardless of the way that God chooses to reveal himself or to speak to us today, we have to remember the one truth. He will never contradict his word, and the message he gives will always bring glory to God himself. And we have to play our part to seek him. As we read in his word, God isn't going to hunt us down. Those lovely words in Revelation 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We have to diligently seek him. I love that word, diligently. It's a big word, but that's how we have to do it. It involves spending time in God's word and in prayer. And whatever place that we give him in our life, the Spirit of God will fill it up for each one of us. So the Bible urges us not to give God a sign that we're so busy that we haven't got time for him. We're encouraged to set aside time today to begin listening to God's and for God's voice and hearing his promises and his plans for each one of us. Do you believe that God has promises and plans for you? Perhaps sometimes, as I've said before, that we keep a journal to remember the things that God has brought into our lives. It's going to be hard for some, but be quiet. If we do all the talking when we pray, and we do, don't we, often, because we go with our I want lists, how will we know what to pray and how will we hear God's replies? God is speaking all the time, but how many of us aren't listening because it doesn't sound the way we want it to? Our relationship with God is a journey of intimacy. Know his voice, accept his love, and walk in Christ's authority. We read in Romans, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Know his voice above all the others which clamour for your attention. Recognise that God created you for a close relationship with himself. By design, the way we hear best from God is in the context of a friendship with him. With that relationship, our ultimate goal is to become a spiritually mature person in a close relationship with our Father God. That's the only way we'll clearly and correctly hear what God has to say to us. Amen. So we're going to pray, and it's a prayer about hearing God's voice, and it's a responsive prayer. I'm going to say a line, and then if you want to, please respond out loud, God, you are calling. And there's enough chances to get it right. God, you are calling. Let's pray. Gentle and patient, God, you are calling. Careful and persistent, God, you are calling. In grieving and in praise, God, you are calling. Through dawn and midday, God, you are calling. Unexpected and planned, God, you are calling. In a still, small voice and in power, God, you are calling. Spontaneous and prepared, God, you are calling. Willing or protected, God, you are calling. Our God is eager to share with us wherever we are in our journey. May we be diligent to listen. God, you are calling. Heavenly Father, we desire to obey when you speak to us through your word and in our hearts. Help each of us to push past our doubts and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're joined together and sing number 111, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. And there we see the gracious calling of the Lord, how he speaks through the earthquake, wind and fire, but how he's also the still small voice of calm. Let's join together and sing.
Thank you.
Rick Warren says, God speaks to people who take time to listen. Verse from a song that we sung earlier, may it be our prayer. Father, we love to seek your face. We love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Lord, may that be our song of praise as we leave this place. Bless our lives this week and forevermore. Amen. Just be seated briefly. So next Saturday, as you've read on your diary, it's men's breakfast. New members are welcome. I do need somebody to eat my bacon roll next Saturday. So if anyone wants to take up that challenge, please do. Well, I was actually inviting somebody new to eat my bacon sandwich, but if you want to do that, that's fine. And as I said to those that are reading the Big Church Read, we resume again on the 8th of July. Feel free to read your book to the end and then we can start again together. But the next time we meet, we'll be looking at chapter 4. And next week, you're led in worship by Peter Montague. So please look after him well. Bless you.
Recording.